Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. There's a little graveyard in the city of Hanover, and it's called the Garden Churchyard. And it's a graveyard that's been closed for some years. It was first built in 1872, but now it's become a tourist attraction because some, not famous to me, but some well-known people over the years have been buried there. And so people come to see it, but one of the graves and monuments they particular come to see is one that was in honor of a devout atheist man. Because he asked for this to be the inscription that was written on it. This monument has been purchased for all eternity, and it is not permitted to be open. And he wrote that thinking of the resurrection. I want you to know that here in 2019, that tombs and monuments stand open. He had everything done in his power to make sure it didn't. He built these huge stone steps and classed them with these iron fixtures that were immovable. But do you want to know why it's opened? Because a little seed fell in a crevice in the foundation and grew into a tree. Now, if God can open the grave with a little seed fallen into a crevice, how much more can he do through the power of the resurrection in Jesus Christ? Here this man wanted to be sealed for all eternity. And God said, that's not how it works. The power of the resurrection, that's what we're going to look at today. That's why we stand here with hope. Because we believe in the power of the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And just as he promised, we too will rise again. Those who we loved who have gone on before us will rise again. Yes, this passage speaks to the power of the resurrection, but it doesn't just speak to it for the future. No, this passage speaks to the power of the resurrection that can be experienced each and every day by people who follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so I want to share a few things with you this morning to highlight that reality of how you can experience the power of the resurrection. Yes, we want to all experience it one day, but you can experience it today. You see, to experience the power of the resurrection, Paul tells us, you must be willing to lose all that the world calls excellent. In order to experience the power of the resurrection, you need to be willing to lose all that the world calls excellent. And Paul just got done mentioning it all. What is the world called excellent? Status, prestige, wealth. Paul had just finished saying, look, if anybody has any reason to ever brag about who they are, it was me. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I went to the right school. I got trained by the right teachers. I did everything right. I came from the most prominent family. And yet I considered all of that loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ. That same question is always before us as Christians. Are we willing to see the world's desires and pursuits as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but I long to know Jesus. When I think about the people that we've remembered today, I can't imagine that embrace of Jesus Christ that they are enjoying. What am I willing to give up in order to get there? You see, it's only when you choose to let go of your worldly pursuits that you are ready to receive what Christ has to offer. Until that moment, your security remains worldly. In other words, what makes you feel safe is all about the physical things. Do I have enough money? Is my job safe? Am I secure? Paul says that's not what provides ultimate security. No, it's who you are in Jesus Christ. It's your standing there. If Jesus called you home today, where would you go? Until we're willing to let go of worldly pursuits, our security remains worldly. Also, until then, your pleasures keep you distracted. And by the way, I'm not talking about sensual pleasures like we might think of lust and greed and things like that. No, I'm just talking about the things that make you happy are all rooted in this life and not the next. When we're not willing to let go of the world's pursuits. And then also, until then, your values are purely physical. In other words, the things that you value most in life are things like your health and your wealth and your honor and your prestige. And Paul says, no, I gave up all of that. I considered it loss. He takes it a step further. He says, I considered it garbage. And that's not even a great translation, because what he really means is I consider it like animal waste when they go to the bathroom. He says, knowing Christ, everything else pales in comparison to that. And I cast it all aside. Oftentimes, we're like a wild animal as Christians who was born in captivity and doesn't know its own strength, doesn't know its own power, doesn't know its own future. And we walk around as though we're in a cage. And Paul says, no, I've given up all those pursuits. And I've walked right through the door, out the other side. And I'm living right now in the power of the resurrection, so that one day, he closes out this section, I will be able to experience the resurrection from the dead. Another thing we notice is that to experience the power of the resurrection, you must be willing to rely on the work of Christ alone. There's no room for what you or I can do. And this is one of the most difficult lessons a person can ever encounter, and that's how to rely on other people, how to depend on them. Especially if you have a servant's heart and you're used to being the one helping, it is so hard for us to help. Paul says, I've learned how to rely on Christ. I've learned how to not cling to my own righteousness, but to look to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not cling to my own faith, but look to the faith of Jesus Christ. And remember that it's no longer I who live, but him who lives in me. You see, we're always tempted to give ourselves a little more credit than we deserve when it comes to matters of faith. But the key to resurrection power is found in Jesus Christ alone. There's no special trick or no secret truth that you need to attain. It's just believing. Believing that Jesus is going to be true to his word. believing that if Jesus says it, it will come to pass, believing that because of him, sin no longer has a hold on you. You have been set free. Do you believe in the power of the resurrection today? Because if you do, Paul says that should be the new reality under which you live. That should be your new identity, he says. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him. In other words, when people see Paul, he wants them to see Jesus Christ, him dead and crucified and born again through him. What about you? What is your identity wrapped up in? Is it wrapped up in what you have? Is it wrapped up in what you do? Is it wrapped up in who you are? In what you've experienced? Or is it wrapped up in Christ alone? Every day you face people who are trying to define you. We all do. They try and put us into little boxes. And they try and define us by the standards of this world. Whether it's by race or by gender or by class, whatever it might be. But when Christ is in you, you are defined by a whole new set of standards. Now all of a sudden you are defined by Christ's character. You might be here this morning and be somebody who's made mistakes. I'm one of those people. You might be here this morning and be somebody who's let someone down before. I'm one of those people. But you know what? That's not what defines me. What defines me is the character of Jesus Christ, the one who lives within me. And I don't have to be defined by my past and my mistakes and my hiccups and my shortcomings. Instead, now I can be defined by Jesus Christ living in me. That's why Paul said, I no longer do I look behind me, but I press forward toward the goal which I have in Christ Jesus. You're also defined by Christ's victories. Well, what did Christ overcome? He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame sickness. He overcame it all. And he says, that's what you're defined by. Victory. Isn't that why we sing that song, Oh, Victory in Jesus? My Savior forever. He bought me and he sought me with his redeeming blood. So now we're defined by Christ's character. We're defined by Christ's victories. And we're defined by Christ's purpose. I was reading in a book this week, and the author, Martin Lloyd-Jones, a pastor from years gone by, said, you want to know what the number one problem in society is? It's that we live for physical things. We act as though we're purely physical beings, and that's led us to wars and destruction And we follow down a path of trying to accumulate more in the physical instead of realizing that we're spiritual beings, that we're so much more than we ever understand ourselves to be. That's the power of the resurrection. That's the power of being born again. I'm no longer defined by this mad pursuit for things. I'm no longer defined by this mad pursuit of people's affection. No, I'm defined by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has called me to do. That's the power. You know, we're missionaries on this earth, each and every one of us. Our destination is not here. Our home is not here. We are people who are passing through, and we're going to be here today, and we're going to be gone tomorrow, and we're going to spend eternity in heaven. And the question we have to wrestle with is, are we living for that future? Or are we so caught up in this physical world that is, Scripture says very clearly, going to pass away? That's what I want to leave you with. The power of the resurrection is about the new identity you have in Christ. One day, I long for us all to get to experience that resurrection from the dead. But that day's not today for us, is it? No, here today for us is about living in light of our future hope in this present world. That is the power of the resurrection. That's the invitation from Paul, and that's the invitation from me this morning. What will you choose? Will you choose to live for that eternal home in glory? I pray that your answer is yes. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is so easy for us to be consumed by the things of this world, to allow what's going on in our life and what we're currently doing at our work or in our homes to be the thing that becomes that identifying marker as to who we are. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see that we have a new identity in Christ. That it's no longer we ourselves who live, but it's you who live in us. Help us to embrace that reality. We pray that our pursuits might be of divine origin. That we might look for those things that are above, not for those things that are below. And Lord, we confess that too often we do the opposite. Lord, we long to experience the power of the resurrection. And Lord, we pray that you would help us today to choose to live in that reality, to choose to live in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That is our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.